Hello, everyone. This is Trey Olds from the Trey Olds Radio Show and my friend Bob Thibodeau from the Kingdom Crossroads podcast does great work with his ministry. I've done interviews with him and he is just great. God bless you all.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast for today. We're so blessed that you're joining us as we are now going into part two of our two-part interview with Ann Sullivan. Ann is a researcher who specializes in anxiety disorders. She graduated from Northern Illinois University, where she studied education, history, and philosophy. But it was in the trenches where she gained the wisdom and knowledge that she's sharing with us today. After battling a panic disorder for 13 years, and she goes into the symptoms and all of that, she was treated for a medical condition that had been fueling her panic attacks. And now she's regained control of her life, and now she helps others. She speaks, she's an author, and she's here with us today to talk about her new book, Unsatisfied, Finding Contentment in a Discontented World. And if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and listen to it and catch up, because we don't have time to cover everything as we're trying to get all of the information in that we can possibly get with the time that she has available. So we're going to jump right into the interview and conclude this interview with Ann Sullivan. And when you use that look at life of questioning God, why this is happening, and tying that into discontentment, how does that affect people's faith?
Yeah. You know, I heard, I was speaking at a conference last weekend, and I heard a woman say, the more we understand about God's character, the less we have to ask why. Mm. And I think there's so much insight to that. But I'm also a very practical person. You will see this in my book. I don't just spiritualize everything. I mean, it's the nitty gritty on all these things that we face day in and day out. And I think, honestly, that because we don't just stay in the church. I mean, we're out in the corporate world, and it's very competitive in the corporate world. And we're students, and we're, you know, at home moms or whatever it is that we are at in this season of our life. And again, you know, the seasons change, and then how do we readjust? But I think the more that we are able to understand who we are and work from that outward, there's a different kind of pressure that's taken off of us, and we're able to sort of see things more clearly. So I think that's an important part.
Yeah, and you talk about the pressure. One kind of pressure comes off, but what's the pressure that replaces it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? The pressure that you put on yourself, the pressures that others put on you, you know, the things that really God isn't even asking of you, that we try and move into areas where, you know, he's pretty much not invited us. You know, I'm a big believer in when I think about the Apostle Paul, and I think about the words of contentment in all of his epistles and writings in the New Testament, and he wrote those famous, you know, I learned the secret of contentment. Yeah. I'm so convinced, the more I study his life, that he had such a grip on this mysterious doctrine called the sovereignty of God. And, you know, that God allows freedom but maintains control is both a mystery that can kind of frustrate us, but it also is meant to liberate us. That God allows freedom, you know, man plans his course. That means step up. You do those practical things you need to do to get your life healthy, to get it balanced, to get the help you need. But then, you know, man plans his course. God determines his steps. You know, he allows freedom. He maintains control. That control ultimately is what's supposed to bring us a sense of peace and confidence. You know, he'll shut the doors when it's time for those doors to be shut. But otherwise, you know, Paul was all about just moving forward one step at a time, one step. I'm big on small steps, you know, and then you can look back and say, oh, I took a giant leap. But those small steps forward are really, really good at encouraging us when it comes to success.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, those who follow me and are familiar with the story, I'll just recap it briefly here. The you know, I lived in Texas for about 10 years and just absolutely loved it. I mean, that's where I wanted to be. You know, in my opinion, the presence of God is right there. And I just wanted to be there. That's where I went to Bible school and all that. And that's, you know, I just absolutely loved living in Texas. And a door was open for me to move to Maryland. I was like, no, no, I do not want to move to Baltimore, Maryland. No, I say no, and that's no.
I'll obey you, God, to a point.
Yeah, and that was not what I was going to do. Well, almost immediately, I mean, within 2 or 3 months, things started happening, you know, and financial crisis arose, and I lost my job and had to start another job. I mean, just one thing like snowballing, right? And at each stage, it came back, well, you can move to Maryland. No, I'm not going to do it. And finally, it got to the point where we were literally about 10 days away from being homeless. And I was like, you know, my daughter had married a guy from Baltimore, and the job she had, you know, she had to move out of the house and live in this territory that she was being a sales rep in. And she goes, Dad, why don't you and Mom come here and stay with us in Baltimore? And really, at that point in time, I had no options. So, you know, I said, okay. And almost within the first week of us being here, blessings started happening again. You know, I got a good job within a week. I mean, things just started turning around. That was back in 2001, June 3rd, 2001. And it's just been one blessing after another. And now, you know, we talked off air a little bit about what happened in my story. All that happened, and the provision was there because I obeyed and finally came to Baltimore, right?
Right.
But what did God have to allow to happen in my life and cause this discontentment in order to finally get me to be in agreement with what his plan was? You know, yeah, he was a sovereign. He is sovereign. He was the one that was in control of everything. And I thought I was in control of everything. And he very quickly got my attention by making me realize I was not in control of anything. So that discontentment is what brought me to finally get back into God's plan for my life. And now, you know, here we are, what, 18 years later. You know, even though I still love Texas, you know, my friends say, when are you moving back? Well, I'm staying right where I'm at until God says otherwise.
Well, and then you found out that God lives in Maryland too, right? He doesn't just live in Texas like you thought.
This is true.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear your story because I think that some of us spiritualize things so much that we aren't even practical on this, you know, planet that we've been placed. To embrace the sovereignty of God and his control is to bring us, it is mysterious. It brings us a great sense of peace, but you know, I'm going to say probably in all those years, there was a lot of stepping up you had to do. It probably wasn't always easy. You know, you had to make good choices. Sometimes they weren't the best, and then you had to redirect. I mean, it's a very practical, you know, we don't get so so spiritual that we aren't even practical. And I think that is one of the ways that we get set up for disillusionment. You know, God is expecting you to do your part too, and he will bless you. He's our sovereign God.
Amen. What's the saying? You become so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good.
Yeah. And it's true.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Now, in today's society, you know, discontentment is basically becoming the new normal. I mean, it's all over the news every single night. You know, it's all over the TV shows that are popular. Everybody's envious of what others have, and they're frustrated because, you know, they don't have what others have. Mm-hmm. How does your book address that situation?
Right. And I think we're in competition in so many different levels, whether it's in the corporate world or whether it's just, you know, with family members or friends or the neighborhood or whatever. And I think the comparison is only brought to an elevated point through all social media. And it just sort of feeds on itself, and it's a snowball rolling down, becoming an avalanche. And I've often thought about, you know, what triggers those things that brings us back to reality? And usually it is a little bit of the difficult times that help us to focus more, because I think we become so manic about wanting so many things that everybody else has. And we almost don't stop and ask ourselves, you know, what really would make me happy? And what's stopping me from that? And is God stopping something that I think would make me happy? Or should I be doing something to pursue those things? So we are in the culture, even as a church. And I am very much aware of that, that we need to be real. We need to be honest. But it is, if we take our eyes off of who we are called to be in Christ, which I believe the whole, it's a journey. Our faith is Amen. A journey. I mean, some people have one-time big events, but to me, I have found it to be a constant journey. It ebbs, yeah. It flows, you know, life is fluid. But when we focus on who we are, it has a way of bringing everything else into clarity.
Yeah, amen. Step by step, one step day by at step. A time. Yeah, amen. Can you give us some things to watch out for concerning our own life? You know, things that we need to be aware of, you know, concerning us falling down the hole of discontentment, you know, signs, yeah. Symptoms, etc.
Yeah. Well, you know, I last week when I spoke on, I do a lot of speaking, and I love to visit different conferences and churches, both, you know, corporate and whatever. This one was with a group of women, 3,000 women were there. It was a wonderful time, and I only skimmed some of the topics in my book, but I used three that I talked about: bitterness and insecurity and melancholy. You know, bitterness is that thing where you're somewhere between angry and disappointed, and insecurity is all those feelings of, you know, I know it could be more, but I don't think I am, and really not recognizing what we can be. And melancholy, somewhere between sadness and boredom. And all of those things, what makes it even more difficult is that we know we have so much to be grateful for. This is not a whiny book. This is not whining. This is, and knowing we should be more grateful only annoys us more when we're hurting. So I say, take an honest look at some of those areas that I just addressed. And I walk you through it in the book and give you those signs to look for, those symptoms of things coming on, and what you can do about it. I know how you can grab hold of it and make it work for you. And I'll also say this, if it's not happening to you, I really want to encourage you to be, if you're not the one who needs to get the help that you need, and whether it's with a physician and, you know, my personal experience with medication, which is a hot button in the faith world. And if you want to get into that, I can talk about that as well.
Sure,
but you know, I feel like, you know, if you're not the one that needs the help, then please be the help somebody else needs, you know, without being judgmental. Don't, you know, work on your poker face so that when someone tells you something really awful, you don't have this, well, you know, how about just, yeah, you're hurting. This is why you're behaving this way. So let's do something about that pain. And for me, you know, I've thought, you know, Paul was he was great. He was filled with lots of good ideas. And 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always. How do you rejoice always with clinical depression? Or be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4. Okay, I had a panic disorder. It's very difficult to be anxious for nothing when you have panic attacks, or maybe someone's struggling with OCD. Okay, there are times where you need a physical doctor. And I think our culture's probably over-medicated on the whole, so we're sort of reactionary to that. But I think a case can be made for not being responsible enough to get the medication you need. I give lots of stories about that. Next thing you know, you've got a self-medicated child because you didn't face the fact that they really needed some help with their depression. Mm-hmm. So I'm very realistic about the help that we might need and to be there as somebody else's help as well.
Amen. Yeah, and people say, well, how can you have faith and go to the doctor? Well, you know, number one, the God is probably the one who called the doctor into the medical profession. You know, I mean, I couldn't be a doctor. I mean, I could go to school, and all, but that is a special calling. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're sick, God has already ordained these doctors with the training of healing the body through medicine. So, you know, I don't look at it from the standpoint of, well, you don't have any faith if you go to the doctor. No,
absolutely.
I got enough faith to know God already called him to heal my body.
and we get very picky about those things. I mean, I see in the book, the comedian who said, you know, whenever someone says, if you had faith, you wouldn't need that medication, she says back to them, well, if you have enough faith, you won't need your glasses to drive home. See, at what point are we going to draw the line? We are fallen creatures, and God has provided, as you said, these resources that, in obedience to him, we really should take advantage of. And I talk about in the first book, I think, an acquaintance who came home, a woman I met after speaking, And she had been told, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't need this meds. And she was a mess. She had been fine up to that point because she was seeing a doctor. And now, you know, she didn't want to go back to church. She was having a hard time with her children. She couldn't get up for work. Well, to me, that's a different kind of disobedience. You know, you need to be doing what your doctor is telling you to do. It might take a few doctors, might take a few medications. I don't know. You know, we're in a very, really interesting time, but we have resources, including the internet, as you were mentioning earlier. Yeah, everything can be tainted with the fall of this world that we live in. But I think as Christians, it's our right to and our duty to redeem these things and use them for absolutely all the right reasons.
Yeah, amen. You know, brief testimony, because of the injury and all that we alluded to in my career path, you know, I was on 4 different pain medicines that, you know, are 3 of the 4 were at the max dose allowed by the FDA and still to be covered by insurance. Otherwise, it would be called experimental. And wow. I've had 32 different medical procedures since my injury. And, you know, I was taking all these medicines and I was becoming discontented, I guess you could say, with life, right? Mm-hmm. And I recognized it and I just decided, you know, and I do not recommend this. Okay, what I'm about to say, this is not an endorsement by Pastor Bob. Go see your doctor. But after praying, I just decided I was going to take myself off all the pain medications, cold turkey. And that was a rough 3 weeks. You know, I did not realize my body had become that dependent on it. And I hit severe withdrawal symptoms. And about 4 days into it, I was already supposed to have a doctor's appointment to go, you know, just a follow-up. And the doctor walked in, and he just like, what the hell happened to you? You know? I guess I was looking pretty ragged. In 4 days, I'd slept a total of about 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just bad. And he says, you're supposed to come see me before doing that. I said, yes. No. You know, yeah. I'm done with it.
See, and I'm not sure where we come up with that. You know, is it an arrogance that makes us want to do the doctor's job? I'm not really sure what that thing is, but I, you know, and we have a real problem, as we know, the opioid addiction problem. And so everything has to be done in the right way. You need to be working with your doctor, you know, right. Tell your doctor if you're too dependent, you know, maybe take the amount he or she is telling you to take, you know, those kinds of things. And for you to cold turkey, take yourself off. And
he was upset.
Yeah, a little upset. One of my best friends has had rheumatoid arthritis and deals with so much pain. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking for pain medicine not to be available. I mean, there are times when pain medicine is really important, but we need to be like really focused on doing the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I don't endorse what I did. but I made the decision that I was just done. You know, I was very discontented with my life at that time. And this is just, you know, about 7 months ago. Yeah. And, you know, I had been on the pain medication, progressively increasing dosages for, you know, what, 10 years, 11 years?
Yeah, a long time.
You know, that's just the decision I made. And I was, you know, and I can relate now when you hear about, you know, drug addicts, you know, getting withdrawals. I can 100% relate because it was there. And, you know, but I just, you know, I'm going through this. It's been, you know, 4 days. I'm not going back on it. So he just gave me some medicine to help calm the nausea and things like that. And said, take this for 10 days, you know, and then you can start, you know, and it'll get you through it. And so the medicine he gave me did help the withdrawal symptoms. That's what it was.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, that resource was available to you.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, in your frustration, you said no. And it's interesting because I do think that we have another thing we've sort of bought into in our culture and in the church is that we need to be okay with being uncomfortable sometimes. I mean, life is uncomfortable. Yeah. So you just have to figure out that place that you can be okay, you know, and it might change. It might be a very fluid kind of journey again. But I think I think it's something to not take lightly at all. And you know, these medications need to be available. So we've got a problem. And now with the medical marijuana and opening the whole box to should it be recreational? Well, that's a completely separate thing. Exactly. So I'm really quite conservative, but I'm very much open to what, you know, we're learning and developing going forward.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and this next question, I know the short answer is trust God and, you know, all the little Christian quotes and cute little things to say, but how can someone truly overcome these thoughts and feelings of discontentment?
So I think there are many things that we can do, and depending on the kind of discontentment we're dealing with, and that's kind of what I lay out in the book. I mean, if it's something that I know that when I was coming off depression, I had been working with my doctor, but I also needed to do my share too. I needed to, you know, step up, girl. And I'm a researcher. I love statistics and Harvard studies and all these things. I love to see how they match up with scripture. And one thing I couldn't deny was that, you know, generosity and gratitude are hugely healing to the depressed person, the melancholy person, because let's face it, it's a very self-absorbed place to be. Yeah. So peeling myself off the couch, and I think I brushed my teeth and put my sunglasses on and began to just go to the food pantry. And they make it so wonderful for you to be able to be a part of any of these support groups. But in this case, this ministry, I didn't have to look at anyone. They didn't have to look at me. You know, we didn't have to talk. I came in, perishables to one side, canned goods to the other. You know, made myself do it that first time. And driving home, I remember thinking, oh, that wasn't too bad. Maybe I could do it again. And so I did it again and again and again. And next thing you know, you've got something going on inside of you that's healing. So very practical steps like that. But getting back to Asaph, you know, he was struggling and saying he almost lost his footing as he envied the arrogant and all those when he was following the rules and it wasn't working out. But he called himself a brute beast. He said he was senseless and embittered until he entered the sanctuary of God. Yeah. And that made all the difference. Amen. The last thing you want to do when you're unhappy like that is to worship. So you don't wait to feel it. You do it. And it changes you. It changed Asaph. He was able to say, God is his portion now and forever. And those words don't come easily when we do the thing that's very natural to us when we're depressed or what else. We want to avoid God. We want to avoid people. Not a good idea.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, what about other people we may know who's afflicted with this? You know, people who we can see they're struggling in this area. What can we do to help them?
You know, I think being there for someone, listening to them, being in tune, you know, like you were saying, you can now relate to an addict. People don't just set out to be annoying and difficult. I have a whole section on how to relate to difficult people because I've learned the hard way, learning how to speak their language and meet them on their terms. People don't just set out to be an alcoholic or an addict. All right. Yeah. Something's behind those things. And I think just allowing someone that freedom, that you become safe space where they can come to you and really say something. Like, I'm not kidding about the poker face. You need to be able to not raise those eyebrows or shift your shoulder as if to say, well, you know, it's if someone is asking you for help or you're seeing that they need help, to put yourself in a position where you can say, I know you're struggling and, you know, I'd love to hear about it and just let me know how I can support you in any way. That opens the door. Then you have a few more steps you can take with them and then you can help them, you know, maybe guide them to a great tape or a book or a pastor or a counselor or a physician or a food pantry or maybe pitching a manuscript because they really want to write, you know, all these things that I talk about in the book. You know, again, either you get the help you need or be the help for somebody else.
Yeah, amen, amen. Now, we're about all out of time for today, and you just mentioned, you know, sending them to a book. Give them a book to read that will help them. This book that you have is one of those resources that I think someone should be able to have to give to someone. Now, I take it that your book is available on Amazon, correct?
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's, you can get it. Online's real simple. Just about anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You could go right to the publisher, Abingdon. I would love to connect with people. My website that they could connect with me, we can email each other. I can offer them resources, and they can find out where my book is. I don't know if you want me to give that information or if you have that.
That was my next question. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or to do an interview such as this, how can they do that?
Yeah, or for speaking or any kind of event. These are things I make myself available for. It's what I've been called to do. Amen. So my website is annccsullivan.com. Okay. It's A-N-N, no E, C as in cat, Sullivan.com. That's my website. Yeah. Or you can get on my Facebook page and connect with me there, again, at Ann C. Sullivan. And my email address is there as well. I'm on LinkedIn. My email address is acksullivan@comcast.net. Okay. And we always answer emails. I mean, there's nothing I don't take time with. So.
Amen. And I'm going to put links to all this in the show notes as well. And, you know, Ann, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to share with us today about your new book. I think it's awesome.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm thrilled with what you're doing and reaching out beyond the church into the corporate world and everywhere else. Fabulous. Keep going. Amen.
I appreciate that. Folks, this book is definitely needful for today. I mean, this is something that needs to be brought to the forefront and actually discussed and not swept under the carpet. And I can't emphasize enough that you need to get a copy of this book. Actually, you need to get two copies of these books. One for you and for one for someone that you may know will benefit from the information Ann Sullivan is sharing with us. And as I said, I'm going to put links in the show notes below. Just click the link, take you straight to Amazon. You can buy the book right there. Go to our website, look around. If you're looking for a speaker to come to your church or to a conference, check out our website and reach out. You just heard her. She'll be more than happy to work with you. And thank you again for taking the time to share with us today. I do appreciate it so much.
I am so grateful to you. Thank you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Ann Sullivan and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.